this morning, actually for the next couple Sundays, we're going to be hitting a topic that the Lord has just been really hitting me with and taking me, I believe, to new levels of understanding. And this morning's message that I sense from the Lord is behavior modification versus crucifixion. Behavior modification versus crucifixion. And this is, I believe, extremely important for us to understand. But before we go there with the message, let's look at what happened to Jesus just shortly after his baptism. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That was Jesus' commissioning from God for him to go out into the world and to announce the good news. And then at the end of Jesus' ministry, he said, "As the Father sent me, I'm sending you." And I know you guys have heard this as ad nauseam. How's that? How you say that? Till it's coming out, till you're sick of it. And you're just going to keep hearing it because repetition penetrates the very dullest of minds, beginning with Jeff. And this is so true. Therefore, and what's different in this next slide? The Spirit of the Lord is upon who? 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 Did everyone say that or did some hold back? Let's read it together. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Who is the Lord commissioned? That is pretty weak. Who is the Lord commissioned?
Me.
He's commissioned us. But there's something that needs to happen before that. And that's what we're going to look at. Now, how does this happen? Basically, as you and I are walking in intimacy with God, other people are going to see it and going to want it. And then we just invite them to do the same thing, to walk in intimacy with God. Now, for just 5 seconds, turn to the person next to you, smiley face, frowny face, and only the regular attenders need to know about this. At the end of each notes, what was that? Oh, Trevor did, that's right. And he doesn't have those, does he? You're off the hook. Oh, well. Thank you. Right into the message. Behavior modification. And you notice this hot pink underline means that it's a blank in your sermon notes. So if you do take sermon notes, there's a blank there. And if I happen to miss one or not get to one, please know that at the very end of the sermon notes, upside down and backwards or whatever, are the actual, just like in highlights. Remember highlights? Remember sitting at the doctor's office and have highlights there? Okay, personal note. As we look at this, personal note. This is personal to me. Philippians 3, 12 through 14, Paul says this, and here's how I feel. Not that I've already obtained this or have already been made perfect. You know, the only reason that the Pope thinks he's perfect is because he's not married. You guys are supposed to smile at that. Now that I'm not married, I don't think I'm perfect. So, not that I've already obtained this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ has taken hold of me. Brothers. So who's he talking to here? Us. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on to the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ. Paul is saying, because he's talking about this intimacy with God, he's talking about death to self and walking in the power of the resurrection. Because just prior to this, Paul says this, it's my favorite verse in all the Bible. Actually, a couple verses. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, partaking in the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, so that somehow I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. That's Paul's prayer. That's Paul's life in a nutshell. I want to know Christ. I want to so know Christ that I experience the power of the resurrection, that I partake in the fellowship of his sufferings. I become like him in his death, so that somehow I will attain into the resurrection of the dead. That's Paul. And then he goes on to this. Not that I've arrived, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, I'm going to press on. I say all of that because I'm on a journey. I don't know everything about this death to self stuff. I do not know. But one thing I do, I'm going to press into it more and more and more. And more and more and more, the Lord's giving me understanding to it. And I'm simply inviting you to join with me on the journey of a lifetime. It's the most important journey that you'll ever be on, because it's a journey that leads to intimacy with God. And I've not arrived. The Apostle Paul hadn't arrived. Lynette's there. She's already there. But I've not yet. We've not. And there is so much more for us to learn and understand. So please know, if I act like a know-it-all, that's all a cover-up. I don't know it all. But like Paul, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, I'm going to go. We're going to go. And I invite you to come with me. So what is the issue? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, Paul is talking to the church at Corinth, and how does he begin? He begins, brothers. Who's Paul talking about? Can everyone say we-ins? Paul is talking to us. He's talking to believers. He's writing this to believers. And this term, brothers, is a generic term for everyone. It doesn't just... So if you're ladies, you're not off the hook. Ladies, you are not off the hook. This is a general term that means everybody. He's talking to everyone. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but worldly. Mere infants in Christ. He's talking to us. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you still aren't ready. You are still worldly. Doesn't that give you warm fuzzies? Paul's talking to us. He's talking to me. He's talking to us. And the big question is, what in the world is he talking about? What does he mean? How dare he call us worldly? Actually, the word there is flesh, or it's sarkos. You know, remember years ago, for those of you who are old enough, remember Wendy's had a commercial, Where's the beef? Well, that's what sarkos is. Beef. Where's the beef? Where's the meat? Where's the flesh? Now, I love Wendy's. I get number two. Number three is a little too much, you know, but number two just hits the spot. With cheese, that is. This is not a commercial, but it's good stuff. So, here we go. Bill Bright's Four Spiritual Laws, and you've seen this before. I redid it, and I just want you to know this is Bill Bright's Four Spiritual Laws. Has anyone ever used Four Spiritual Laws? It's a little track to lead people to the Lord. I've used it for years and years and years and years. I like them, Four Spiritual Laws. It's good. But in the one thing in it, here's the diagram. Okay, and let me explain this a little bit. Now, this is the normal person. By the way, if you know Jesus Christ, you are not normal. According to Peter, you know what you are? You're a stranger and an alien. Look to the person next to you and say, you're an alien. Some of you are taking way too much fun in this, obviously. The reality, we're all good. Normal people do not know Jesus. They're lost in their sin. They do not know it. The world is doing a great job of being normal. The world is doing a great job of being normal. In fact, they're doing their job well. They're sending up a storm. Amen? It's us. We're the ones that aren't normal. We're the ones that aren't normal. Our citizenship, you know, hey, by the way, everybody, if you haven't voted already, get your butt out to the poll. If you're a citizen, it is your obligation. We should be the best citizens of this country as born-again believers. Now, for the first time, I voted early. I saw all these people walking around with these red buttons, and Carolyn was like, well, I've been doing this for years. I've voted since I've been 18, and I've never voted early. I just went on Tuesdays. But I voted early, and I'd have my thing, but it fell off somewhere. I don't know where it is. But I did it already. For the first time, I voted early. But I've always voted. Vote. Vote. Ask. If you don't know who, look into it. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you, and let the Holy Spirit vote through you. We are citizens of this country. We have an obligation to do it. Enough of that commercial. Actually, we are. That's our second citizenship. We have dual citizenship. Our first citizenship is where? It's heaven. My home is heaven. My citizenship, my first citizenship is in heaven. My second is here as an American. So normal people, this is about normal people. They are not born again. Christ is not in their life. And who is in control sitting on the throne of their life? Self. And does self do a good job? This is their life. Is that nice and organized or is that pretty pathetic? In case you don't know, you and I don't make very good gods. And notice that no one else does except Jesus. And when you are in control, guess what? You're going to have interests here, there, and everywhere, and you're just going to be out of balance and out of control. What Paul is talking about is this. A born-again person, but carnal, fleshly, worldly. See, Jesus is in their life, but who's on the throne? Who's on the throne?
Still self.
And Paul wrote to those at Corinth, which was a thriving, growing church, gifts of the Holy Spirit just all over the place. There being good witnesses doing all kinds of stuff. But who Paul is saying, telling them, chastising them, who's on the throne? And by the way, how nice and organized is our life? In fact, can you tell much difference between the two? Because even when you pray to receive Jesus Christ, you don't make a good God. Turn to the person next to you and tell them, you don't make a good God. Go ahead, tell them. Again, some people are enjoying this a little bit too much. But this is true. This is Scripture. This is Paul, the Apostle Paul, telling us just as much today as he was those people that were living in Corinth. You see, here's what happens. Typically, we try behavior modification. You see, we're living here, and we try behavior modification. And what do I mean by behavior modification? We try taking every thought captive. We try memorizing Scripture. We try spiritual disciplines. And guess what happens? A little bit of change, but who's still in control? How's your life working out? How's it working for you? That's the ultimate question. How's it working for you? And you know, I don't need to probe much further. So what are some other ways that we try behavior modification? What else do we try? Come on, I gave you some biggies. This is audience participation. No one's allowed to sleep here. Audience participation. What else do we try? Going to church, attending church. Yes, yes, yes. What else? Serving the church. I had a relative that served in the church all of his life and didn't know Jesus. In fact, he did everything so he wouldn't be in the messages. He was really good at it. He prayed to receive Christ now. But for all my growing up years, he served in the church. He was an usher. He was a greeter. He was a Sunday school counter of money and things. And he did everything except sit in the classroom or sit in the service. Amazing. You know, I could sit in the garage all day long and I'm not going to be a car. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, what else do we try?
Giving.
Giving?
Fish on Fridays.
Fish on Fridays. Hey, man, you're full with food now. Stop it. It's getting too close. I like fish. Make more rules for yourself. You can do all kinds of other things. There's all kinds of things, but I'm just telling you, behavior modification. Here's where we are. It doesn't work. And again, the ultimate question, how's that working for you? Please turn to the person next to you and ask the question, how's that working for you? If you're visiting, I apologize. It's not always this bad, okay? It's not always this bad. Sometimes, yes, but not always. Okay, let's look at Colossians, because the Apostle Paul addresses this, I believe, in Colossians chapter 2, 20, verse 23. And I have it up here. You're welcome to turn to it. Since you died to Christ, he's talking to believers, since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? And these rules, do not handle, do not touch, do not taste, all these rules they had. All these are destined to perish with use because they are based on human commands and teachings. Listen to this. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom. They have an appearance of wisdom. All these things that we try and do, all this behavior modification, memorizing Scripture. Now, do I memorize Scripture? Yes. Do I do spiritual disciplines? Yes. But I don't do them to get holy or to get close to God. Because I walk with God, I do them in response to it. I don't do them to get close to Him. I do them because I am close to Him. You see the difference? They have an appearance of wisdom, but their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. That's bold blackened and as bold as I can make it and still fit on the screen. But they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Now, I think Paul is talking here kind of like a man, because I don't think ladies deal with this issue as much as men do. But I think ladies do deal with pride and jealousy and I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to put that on the screen. Again, I don't know. I honestly don't know. I think Paul, being a male, is primarily talking as a male. Men, I don't care what you do. Does it help in restraining sensual indulgence? Or have you had to ask forgiveness for the 1,001th time? Let's just be honest. Those things don't work. They don't work. Trying to control or manage self or the flesh or the worldliness, whatever English term you want to use, the Greek term is sarkos. Trying to control sarkos is like trying to keep a beach ball underwater. Where's your bulletin? Our Tanya is so cool. She had the beach ball. I couldn't make one and get it onto the thing. I couldn't find one. Or I had to put a beach ball there. Any of you guys been to the beach now? Lynette, I grew up on the water, so I'd go in water that you can't see what's down there. Lynette would not go in water that she couldn't see what was down there. So you'd find Lynette at the pool. She was at the pool, and we'd have beach balls and stuff, and it was fun trying to sink the beach ball, but could you ever get the beach ball under for any length of time? We would dive, we would jump, you know, jump from the side and try and land on it, you know, and that was so funny because, you know, just zoop, 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 you know, sometimes you went over that way, some that way. You couldn't do it. Trying to control the flesh is like trying to keep a beach ball underwater. Only trying to keep a beach ball underwater is fun. But very futile. Self, the flesh, worldliness, whatever you want to say, sarkos, cannot be controlled or managed. It can't. It can't. It can't. And again, all I have to ask you is, how's that working for you? How's it working for you? You have sworn that you'll never, ever, ever, ever do that again. How's that working for you? You try even harder. How's it working for you? You see, here's the solution as far as I can see. And we're gonna look at this for the next couple weeks. The flesh, since it can't be controlled, it must be crucified. And the Apostle Paul talks about that in Galatians 2:20. Paul's talking about himself. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. Self needs to be, must be. Paul is sharing with us a key insight into the Christian life, the Christ life. Self can't be managed, can't be controlled. Self has to be crucified. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. But here's the key. Here's another part of this. Self can't crucify self. Again, I can ask you, how's that working for you? How you doing with self, crucifying self? Doesn't work. And I could tell you, just try harder, but I know it ain't going to work. Hey, if anyone tried harder, it was Paul. Paul was a fanatic. Paul was wacko. Look at what he did. Look at his boasting. Paul was that guy that went the extra, 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 extra mile, and he's saying he couldn't do it. If Paul couldn't do it, we have no hope of doing it. Self cannot put self to death. And you know, after a while, typically after trying to control and manage self, most people either give up and just walk away. Been there, done that. I haven't bought the t-shirt, they'll say. Or they still coming and they wear masks. And the old phrase, fake it till you make it. Are you with me? How many people do we know that just gave up? I believe this is a big part of it. Or we just wear masks. We hear them, we look nice, we look pretty, and we desperately, desperately hope that no one really sees who we really are. Because we have this horrendous fear that if people really saw who I was, boy, they'd see I'm a fake. And so we hide. And now we're back to Adam and Eve. God's in the garden. Where are you guys? Where are you guys? finally, you know, he comes to them, he talks with them. What were you doing, dude? This is reverse revised version. What were you doing, dude? I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid. And notice they had already put clothes on them. They already cut down some fig leaves and were covering themselves over. They were already wearing masks. So what is the answer? And green means this is since Thursday, because I gave this to our office administrator on Thursday morning. This is added since then. What was Jesus' primary source of power? Jesus commanded the apostles, his disciples, to wait for what? He commanded them what? Wait. Wait. Now, if it were me, I'd have said, sick 'em. Sick 'em. You've been with me for 3.5 years. Sick 'em. I taught you everything that you need to know. Sick 'em. But what did Jesus say? Wait. 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 They waited a long time. They were in prayer and fasting and seeking the Lord for like 40, 50 days. If I was one of them, I don't know if I'd waited that long, because I would want to get her done. Wait, wait, and then Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. See, that's the key to the deeper life. That's the key to intimacy. That's the key to victory over sin. That's the key. That's the most important thing. See, we can have all the wisdom and knowledge. We may even have the training and ability, but if we don't have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, wait, wait, wait. And look at the difference from Peter sticking his foot in his mouth every other minute and being terrified, all of them scared to death, wimpy, to standing before the religious leaders, to preaching boldly, to the Holy Spirit flowing through them, doing amazing things. Because it wasn't them, it was the Holy Spirit flowing through them. They waited, and the Holy Spirit came upon them and empowered them. You see, self can't put self to death. It takes the Holy Spirit to do it. We can't do it. The Holy Spirit needs to do it. Now, we can invite Him to do it. He won't come if we don't invite. My question, have we granted the Holy Spirit full surrender and full access? Do you remember when Rob Reamer was here? It was either the last time or the time before last. He talked about King David. King David was a warrior. But David talked about raising his hands unto the Lord. Now, if you're a warrior, if you're a soldier, what does this mean? I surrender. I grant you full access. I surrender. You can search me. I surrender. I love that imagery. I'm sure you don't even notice, you shouldn't notice or see me, but when I worship, full surrender, full access. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Full surrender, full access. Come. Because I can't do this. full access, full surrender. Please, please. You see, when that happens, we have the normal person, born again person. Only the Holy Spirit has the power to crucify. And then this is what happens when we grant full access, full surrender. Self gets dethroned. Christ sits on the throne of our heart. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can make this happen. And then he starts bringing meaning and order to our life of chaos. But I promise you, only the Holy Spirit can do that. If you don't believe me, how's it been working for you so far the way you've been doing it? Now, maybe you're already doing this. Amen, praise the Lord. Then you're going to be sick over the next couple Sundays, or you're going to rejoice. Because we're going to look at this from slightly different angles and perspectives. Because this is the most important thing. Jesus said, wait, wait, wait. Because if we don't have the Holy Spirit, we're going to look like everyone else at work. We're going to look like everyone else at the kids' soccer game, basketball game, whatever's going on. We're going to look like everyone else. And you know the world will look at us and see, normal person. There's no difference. But when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, when He is oozing from us, the people that day said, what's different? On the day of Pentecost, what's different? You guys drunk or what? No, it's the Holy Spirit. When they're arrested by the Sanhedrin, these are normal, ordinary, uneducated dudes. And then someone said, but they spent time with Jesus. And they saw that their life was different. See, self can't crucify self. Only the Holy Spirit can crucify self so that then people begin to see Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so are people seeing Christ in you, the hope of glory? Are they? Or are they just seeing you? Are people just seeing Jeff or are they seeing Jesus? And you know, right now, I'm not satisfied that they're seeing enough of Jesus. And I want more of Him. I want more of Him. So ultimately, my question, are you tired of trying to keep that beach ball underwater? Are you tired of that? And in Luke 11:13, how much more will your Heavenly Father give to you the Holy Spirit when you ask? It's a matter of asking. He's not just going to come. But we can ask. That's our part. Asking, trusting, believing that He will. Again, full surrender, full access. Full surrender, full access. Are you tired of the battle? And here's my ultimate question. Please, don't look around. I'm going to have closing prayer. And I'm going to ask everyone to just stand up. I don't want to embarrass anyone. But if you're tired like I am, I just want to invite you to raise your hands. And I'm going to close my eyes so I don't even see who does it. Maybe no one will. Maybe everyone will. I don't know. I know I am. Dad in heaven, Abba Father, please, please, please. I'm tired of this self stuff. I'm tired of trying to crucify self. I cannot do it. I'm raising my hands. We are raising our hands. I surrender. I surrender. I give up. Not only do I surrender, I grant you full access. Come, Holy Spirit, come. If you being evil and you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give to the Holy Spirit when you ask? Right now, we're asking, I'm asking, with my arms raised high, in full surrender, granting you full access. Holy Spirit, please come. Please come and fill to overflowing. Please come and reveal any sin that I'm holding on to. Anything. Anything that is hindering you from coming in and crucifying self. I ask forgiveness for how often I've turned from you to cisterns, to these sins. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of trying to not do it. I'm saying I surrender all. Please, I grant you full access. Holy Spirit, please come. Please come and fill me and all those who have their hands raised. Come, Holy Spirit, come. 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 Our only hope is in you. Please come. In fact, by faith, I thank you. Because you're the one that even nudged us to raise our hands. And Father, I don't even know who's raising their hands because my eyes are still closed. But I thank you for raising my hand. Thank you, because that's already proof and evidence that you are at work, that you desire to do more, that you desire to crucify self. Please, as you come, please make those words of Paul a present reality. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, not I live, but Christ liveth in me. Paul, you also said, know ye not that your body is not your own. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come and claim these temples. Come and fill these temples to overflowing. We have asked. Come, come, come and crucify self and allow Jesus to come and sit on the throne of my heart, our hearts. Come, Jesus. You said, apart from me, you can do nothing, but if a person remain in me and I in him, much fruit will be born. Come, come, come. You can lower your hands now. But in your hearts and minds, please continue to just say, come, 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 come. In fact, by faith, thank him. In your own words, in your own prayers to yourself right now, by faith, thank the Holy Spirit for coming. Because we're not just asking, we're receiving it right now. You may not feel it, may not sense it, but that's a step of faith, believing it. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So please, in your own silent prayers, thank him. And as I said before, Holy Spirit, please reveal any sin that we've been holding on to, that we've been harboring. Any attitudes, anything at all that might hinder your work in our lives. Again, full surrender, full access. Reveal anything that we might just confess it and turn it over to you. We will just wait in silence before you for another couple moments, because I know that you're doing work all over this place. You're doing work in my heart and life right now, in ours. In this moment of silence, also prepare our hearts to enjoy communion. communion with you, Lord Jesus. So, Holy Spirit, just continue to work. Father in heaven, I ask that today would be a baby step in the right direction and that you would keep drawing us to yourself. Please continue to draw me to yourself. I want to know you in the power of Jesus' resurrection, partaking in the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, to somehow attain into the resurrection of the dead. But the most important thing is knowing you, intimacy with you. Holy Spirit, please come and continue to make that an ongoing present reality. Abba, Father, I thank you for what you are doing and what you will continue to do. For I pray these things in the name and in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated.